hookah, chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, hookah,
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? I hope you're having a great time, a great week, a great whatever it is you want to be great at, just be great. And you know why? Because you guys are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show! That's right, Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe, I'm a filmmaker. A photographer, a writer, a comic book creator, anything you want. I am me. I am my own brand, like they like to say in the brand world. But across from me, of course, is the wonderful, super talented, the most enchanted of all cartoonists in the planet, the one and only Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm enchanting.
Enchanting. That's right.
I'm hooked on a feeling. I have been singing this song pretty much every day for like the past 6 months.
Oh yeah. And why is that?
Because it's the song that represents Guardians of the Galaxy. Seriously, like when I first heard of this film, I was not familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy. It apparently is a Marvel property. I had no idea what it was. Like, I really didn't know. All I saw was a large tree and a talking raccoon and a whole bunch of outlaws lined up in like a prison type jail atmosphere, and I was like, I want to see that film.
That's all that needs to happen.
That's all it took. That's like basically whatever that what was that the first trailer. I don't even know if, I guess like I knew it was being made because I do follow James Gunn on social media, which is the film's director. And so I knew what was going on, but I wasn't as familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy, which I honestly think that even if you're a hardcore comics geek, I don't think there's anyone out there that like really, really knew about like Guardians of the Galaxy and knew like this whole franchise. You know, like, I mean,
it's a
maybe
tough one, right?
There might be a couple people out there that really do, and I you know, tip my hat to them. But I don't know, man. We'll have to talk about it later. But now it's the Carolyn News theme song.
It's the Carolyn News theme song. That's in the songs in the heads of people for years, man.
I know. People have been thumping with it.
Yeah, for 91 weeks straight, the song has been thumping. Onto the news.
Yes, the Carolyn News. Basically, this week, the main news is that Magic Bullet number 9 has hit the streets. It hit the streets a couple weeks ago, but now it's gaining momentum because it's being spread to more places. So, if you don't know about Magic Bullet, it is Washington, D.C.'s comics newspaper anthology. It is a whole newspaper full of large format comic pages done by a majority of people who live in Washington, D.C. area. There are a few people from outside the area that have a connection to D.C. that we occasionally see at Small Press Expo or at other events. But, you know, I'd say it's probably 90% D.C. area based, and it is good to have that spread reach out. And basically, go to magicbulletcomics.com to see a listing, the most updated listing of where you can potentially find an issue. And if you want to call ahead at that venue, please do so, because I don't want to say, like, you know, go out to this far other land and then you get there and they're already gone.
Yeah.
So if you really want to make sure, you got to do the work on it, because we only print 5,000 of these.
And 5,000 is a lot, too.
It is a lot, but they go quick, and they're free, and if you can't...
And they will be worth money in the future, too.
If you can't grab it right now, what you can do is you can find Curl Studio at Small Press Expo, and we will give you one at our table. Or we will also be at Baltimore Comic-Con, as well as several of the contributors, and you might be able to find Magic Bullet there. Or you can see us at New York Comic Con. We're going to be at Small Press Booth 1162. Yeah, jot that down. So Joe and I will be there with Teresa Roberts Logan, and we'll be giving away Magic Bullet number 9 for free.
Well, that's not the only thing. We're not just giving stuff away.
Yeah, we're also selling our comics. So if you buy something, we usually actually give you a Magic Bullet when you buy something, or if you ask. So it's like a secret code password thing. And we also have them at the free tables when you go to these shows, so you might be able to pick one up there. But either way, you know, reach out, get in touch, and we'll find a way to get one to you. Magic Bullet number 9. It's our Western issue with a cover by Nick Galifianakis. It's fabulous, I have to say.
And yes, you've heard that last name before.
You have heard that last name because he is the cousin of Zach Galifianakis. So
both equally as well known.
Both equally as well known. He's a major player in the apocalypse. I mean, that last name says a lot. So yeah, Nick Galifianakis, he's an amazing, amazing cartoonist. He does work with the Washington Post, among other things. And
among other things.
Among other things. And
whatnots.
And also he's
and
Greek.
And whatnots.
He's Greek. Come on. Like, how can you go wrong with a Greek man? I mean, I just have to say John Stamos is Greek, and I'm a big fan of John Stamos, so there you go. And also, I think he came from the same town where Jennifer Aniston originated. We had a discussion about that. So, you know, those are all hard-hitting players in the apocalypse, you know?
Yeah.
So, because Jennifer Aniston is also Greek, so, you know, like, let's be all about the Greeks, because I love Greek yogurt.
be all about the Greeks.
It is true. I am a fan of John Stamos. I am probably, like, I won't say I'm his biggest fan because I'm not anywhere near probably some obsessive fan, but I do have to say that John Stamos is probably in my top 5 or top 10 of men.
Oh, well, there you go.
And that's a high-ranking list, so there you go. Stamos. Yes. And also, I want to add, since we're at Stamos.
Stamos is the news section this week.
Because he is the news section. As soon as I get on that. But he relates to Guardians of the Galaxy because there was a John Stamos reference in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah?
See, I'm bringing it all back around.
So I guess before we get into it, we got to tell people that if we're going to talk Guardians, that there's going to be spoilers ahead. So if you guys who have not seen Guardians, listen to our show first, and then you'll still love it even more.
Or you can, like, run out to the... Pause it right now.
Yeah.
Run out to the theater immediately to go see it, and then come back join the discussion.
Or download it on Stitcher or iTunes or anything you want. Listen to it in the car through Bluetooth or however you listen to it. CarolynandJoeShow.com. About to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn. Not only that, Carolyn, but it was also written with a female. You sent me a link.
I did send you the link, and I actually wish I remembered this lady's name, because I feel like James Gunn obviously
is getting
a lot of prominence.
You do now have an iPhone, if you want to try.
I actually have joined this century, and I got an iPhone. Can you believe that, folks?
For 99 cents.
For 99 cents and a 2-year agreement, I have gotten a smartphone. I am no longer an owner of a dumb flip phone, but I will say I still have it, and it still works, and I love it. But also, the iPhone is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, I can look up anything at a moment's notice, although I don't have it in the studio right now. I'm not one of the type of people that, like, always has it in my hand. Like, I'll only have it when I need it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, that lady's name is escaping me, but...
I remember when I was telling you about that, I was like, you're like, did James Gunn write this? I was like, yeah, he wrote it in some woman.
But it's funny because, like, this link was going around and it talks about how, you know, she's one of the first female, I guess, writers of movie for Marvel. And I wish I could give her credit where her name is, but, you know, look her up on IMDb, Guardians of the Galaxy, writing...
I wish we can say her name.
No, I just don't remember it, because, like, James Gunn, the thing is with James Gunn, I have known about James Gunn for well over a decade, and, I found out about him because he was making movies with Jenna Fischer, at the time was his wife, and she also played Pam in The Office, and, Joe actually bought, Lolly Love for me, so... And that was, like, the film that they made before, like, this big break in Hollywood. I think before she even got The Office.
Not to say that we didn't already know about James Gunn.
I mean, I'm just saying I knew about James Gunn, like, basically, like, probably 12 years ago. Maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
It did start with Jenna Fischer. I think that's how we started, that's what opened the door to James Gunn. But for me to open the door to James Gunn was, of course, Slither. But the one thing that really got in my mind, though, how really fun James Gunn can be, is Slither, because of course they had not Malcolm Reynolds. It had what's his name? Who plays the captain?
Nathan Fillion.
It had Nathan Fillion in it with Elizabeth Banks, two people I think are pretty super awesome. Two actors that I really, really love. But also James Gunn created a show, a web show, way ahead of its time. A web show?
Yes.
A web series? Like, this is back in the day. I think this is even before. I totally think that this was before what a Felicia Day show, The Guild, before that got hot. This was like way before that. But he created PG Porn online, the show PG Porn. And I saw that and I was like, that's freaking awesome. And in my head, James Gunn, in a way, was almost revolutionary to be like, hey, you can have awesome web content. You know what I mean? It was like, it's porn without the sex.
It's funny that you mentioned that, too, because I've basically my whole feed for like the past 2 days online on social media has just been like Guardians of the Galaxy. And then today, just like even an hour ago, I saw somebody post like, James Gunn worked on a film with, who's that porn star that was on Entourage?
Oh, Sasha Grey.
All
the porn stars were in there.
Well, but the headline was actually said Guardians of the Galaxy director in a
directs porn star.
In a porn with Sasha Grey.
Yeah.
So like the way that they wrote that headline makes it sound intriguing. You know,
sensationalized.
It's like, whoa, he's actually in a porn with Sasha Grey. Oh shit. Yeah. You know, like, but true. And then it goes. I didn't actually click on it, but I know it goes to PG porn. But I'm just saying, like, I just think it's funny now that people are discovering that, even though it came out a few years ago.
I thought PG porn was amazing. Like, I don't know about you, but if you remember it at that time, but I was pushing the hell out of PG porn, dude. I thought this thing was awesome.
I think it's funny that people are discovering it now because he's, I guess, like, you know, he's having the time of his life probably in the past few weeks.
Past few days even.
You know, now everyone's like, who's this James Gunn? I'm going to look him up on IMDb. I did look up that writer chick on IMDb, but she has no other credits, but she has an upcoming credit, which is for Black Widow.
Oh, like the...
To write Black Widow with ScarJo.
ScarJo? Okay, so it's happening.
Yeah, so, like, I was like, that's cool. Like, she's getting more work from this, you know? Like, they said in her bio that she was listed as, like, a top 10 writer to watch for. But then she has nothing else on IMDb.
Yeah,
so
but...
I don't know her whole history.
Yeah, like, IMDb is, like, the end-all be-all.
It's not, but...
Because IMDb is
it's
not...
It's easy to look up.
Yeah, though. But if you think... IMDb is not really, like... Yeah, it's talking about the news, but it's also not the... And all be it's not like it isn't really the make or break, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not like there's plenty of people who are working out there that do stuff that are not on IMDb, you know what I mean?
I agree, but it's just easier to look up somebody's resume when you're like, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy,
really, that's
click,
not really a
writer,
resume.
Click. I know, but
that
right,
can be a resume.
I was just trying to actually find her name at that time, and I clicked like Guardians of the Galaxy, writer. You know, looked up her info,
yeah,
but also, you know, it really did make me think when I was looking her up, I was like. You know, and like I said, I feel bad that I didn't memorize her name, but we hopefully will know her name, like household name, very shortly because I feel like she's,
Diablo Cody.
Like seriously though, I feel like she's changing the game, and it's like yes, she is a female, and like yeah, you know, I think you know men and female are you know relatively equal, maybe not like physically, men can be more aggressive and like tough, but like women like with brains as a writer, men and women are. Physically equal but
yeah,
you know
they all have faults and they all have strengths,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
But like we all have brains, you know, so
yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. But you know this woman, I feel like also I feel like in general writers don't get enough credit because you see like the stars, you're like oh man, you can see like Chris Pratt and like oh Bradley Cooper, you know, you recognize like these names even though they are not like at high end super level. Like Chris Pratt, people know him from Parks and Rec. But
and
like,
also he was in Her.
But I don't feel like he's like a household name yet. Like I don't feel like I always judge that based on my parents. Like I don't think my parents know who Chris Pratt is. But you know he's getting there. So
he's also going to be the next Jurassic Park.
That's cool.
It's his time. It's like he's coming up.
He's a rising star.
But what we have here is a breakout role.
Definitely. Definitely.
Like you get the chops, you get the establishment, and then boom, you just need that one role. You just need that one. Everyone just needs that one breakout moment. I mean, I don't think I've had a breakout moment yet to send me out that far, but like, you know, that's what Guardians
it's
was.
Like
that's
why you
gotta
steps.
Be. That's why you gotta be on the lookout for like, could this be the breakout role that you need? You know.
But it's crazy because like I have been touting around Guardians, and I'm not gonna be like, I knew about this movie 6 months ago, and I already said it was gonna be a success. But I actually that did happen because like seriously, I remember talking about it with coworkers, and I'm like, man, Guardians of the Galaxy is gonna be awesome. I don't really know about it, but it's gonna be great. And then they're like, I don't know, Talking Raccoon.
Whenever I describe this to people, like recently, it's been like a mix. I'm like, if they haven't seen, I was like, I'm always like, well. It's like it's there's choices. It's either like it's Star Trek or it's Firefly, and this is actually to me this is more Firefly of a space adventure. You know what I mean? This is that world that exists. You know,
the comedy interjections.
Yeah, and the outlaws. You know what I mean? The stealing and just being like rebels in a way on a loose. That's more what Guardians is. But it's like what Firefly is if it had that respect. If they had that big time respectable budget, and you know what I mean? That's just in that. Infinite amount of characters that's already developed in the world. That's really, you know, to me, that's what that world is, you know? So I'm always like, if you love Firefly, this is definitely going to be something that's down your aisle. You know, this is what you love. It could even blow Firefly away, you know?
Yeah. I think, like, also it's appealing because they do have, like, Groot and Rocket. I feel like a lot of kids are going to like that, even though it's vulgar. But at the same time, like, I still feel like I would be comfortable showing this to maybe like a fifth or sixth grader and up.
And see, that's the thing, like when I first saw, of course, when you know that one San Diego Comic-Con, like we were talking about last week on the show, you guys can go check it out. But San Diego Comic-Con, that's where I heard about the announcement that Guardians of the Galaxy is being made. And of course, during that time, you know, I've heard of Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't really, you know, again, I don't really dig too much into the Marvel comics. Yeah, when I first started reading comics, Marvel is Batman, and then like the Avengers were the things I started. Then I went into Spider-Man, and then back in the Batman animated series. And you know, it's like I knew sort of that, you know, Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos. Those were the characters I grew up in. I mean, then sometimes it just breaks away. But see, Guardians wasn't really something that I knew of that I like read. And then when I saw that, I was like, Guardians of the Galaxy. I know that, but what? It's like, are you really making that? You know what I mean? It's like, are you really? Are you making that into a movie? Who's gonna helm that? You know what I mean? And I heard James Gunn, and I was like, in my head, I was like, all right, because in a way, it almost makes sense because they're pretty much equivalent. James Gunn makes like, you know, his own brand of work with like Super and, you know, Slither, PG Porn, and all that level of work. You can show. You know, it's almost like the next level Sam Raimi in a way. It's like he, you know, he wants that. And then, but he's also in a way still like that outcast, like really is sort of like, you know, in the misfit in the film world. You know what I mean? Because he has that take that's different, but not really mainstream at all. You know what I mean? And then like, that's the same almost like with Guardians, like the new incarnation. It's sort of like, wow, it's this mixed match of people. Does it really make sense? Is it quality? So when I saw that, I was like, I was interested, but I still didn't know. I had no idea. But when I saw the trailer, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, before when it was being made of course everyone's like, yeah, whatever, it's gonna be great. And that trailer fucking blew a hole in the ship, man. It did. You're like, holy shit, what is this? Why did I not already know about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I was like, they have a talking tree named Groot.
Yeah.
Like, and then he was like leaning downward from that frame. I don't know what they call it. What do they call it when you're in the jail and you're like up against the height and
like
all that?
The lineup?
Yeah, the lineup. I don't even know if they had a height monitor in
the
background. They did. Okay. Well, like he's like leaning down below it. I was like, oh my god, I think I'm in love with that tree. It was cute. But basically, like, I just am really amazed. I think, like, honestly, this film shows like the game has changed. It's like one of those game changing moments in filmmaking where, like, and I don't even know the exact records that they broke, but do you know the records they broke? Like some amazing record.
Biggest opening in August.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like overall?
Yeah.
I think there might be something else that they broke too.
Well, biggest opening Thursday night, preview night
in August.
What about
like out of all Marvel movies?
No, probably not.
Okay. Never mind then.
I mean, it might be close. You know what I mean? It had amazing word of mouth. I mean, you know, check on that. I'm not gonna be Mr. IMDb.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I was just saying that they did, you know, they did shatter records and expectations even too.
All I know is that like when we watched that first screening on Friday morning of that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All I know is we saw it with little people. Not miniature people. We actually didn't see it with a lot of people, which was amazing because the reactions...
A limited audience.
But what's amazing is the reactions was still like as if it was a big crowd. I do wish I saw it with a big crowd because I really love... I need to see movies.
Actually, if you want to see it with a big crowd, you can probably go like right now and just see it because I feel like word of mouth, like everyone flooded the theater, which actually bothers me though, like as, I guess...
What, word of mouth?
No. As a, I guess, film lover... Like
a film lover?
I feel like
what does that mean?
As a person who likes to go see films.
Who does not like to see films?
I'm sure some people like
it's so ingrained now that is the entertainment.
Let me say something about that. I think a lot of people do like to see films, but out of like the general public, most people don't see it opening weekend. Most people wait and they're like, oh, I'm gonna read the New York Times review.
Who are these people? Because these opening weekends are crammed.
No, because I think that the general public, if they have children, it's hard to get a babysitter. It's hard to get out all the time.
These are date nights.
You know, I'm not trying to give excuses for these people, but most people do not go opening weekend. Whereas, like, for us, every movie that we've seen in the past, like, 5 years, we have gone to see opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the average person is like that.
I mean, to me...
I mean, you're a filmmaker, so you have reason to go.
It has nothing to do about being a filmmaker. At this point of the day, it has something to do... with being the first one.
Because you don't want any
that's
spoilers.
That's legit what it is.
But what I'm saying is that there are people that are waiting
the thing.
To get a reaction. And then they're like, oh, that movie's good. I guess I'll see it.
That's great for them. They can wait and see for the DVD. But for me, if you want to live life and really experience like the grandiose of going to the theater, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really a big fan of going to see a theater sitting there by myself. Because if I'm going to go to a place where there's going to be crowds... I want there to be a freaking crowd. You know what I mean? And that you feed off of that excitement. And also, I love that preview night. I love that, you know, I love that excitement of a lot of people wanting to go see the movie and people talking about it, you know, and being that area where, you know, it's like a combustible element that this could be awesome or this could be a horrible day because there's so many people there and you get that energy. And that's such a great feeling, like that Friday night feeling whenever I saw movies like in high school and there's like just, and that's like the place to be. Like, I think that's what's awesome about going to the theater. You're going to the theater as opposed to just watching something on a big screen. Like, I like that combustible element.
But even though there were probably only, like, 15 people in the theater, like you said, there was still, like, a big reaction,
When I was sitting, because there wasn't really, the Marvel logo didn't really hit up immediately in the beginning of the movie like it usually does. They had a whole entire sequence with his mom and, you know, you really get heartfelt and you understand where this kid's coming from right then and there. You get where Quid is coming from right then and there. And then right when that Marvel logo popped up, I had that same feeling I had when Spider-Man 2 kicked into gear. I was like, this fucking movie is gonna be freaking awesome. Dude, I sat there and I kid you not, I was doing like Lex Luthor like evil pose, like my, you know, like sitting there evil style in the chair, and I was like, this is gonna be great.
Were you like rubbing your hands together?
No, it was like the more diabolical, like stroking my beard, like this is gonna be freaking awesome. I know it right now. And then once in the and then once you get the big establishing star of like you go, you know, you're going into like the planets and you see all the introduction and the text pops up, the titles pop up of where we are, and then you see, you know, it's all dramatic and you're like, this is like in Flash Gordon territory, you know, and you're seeing the elements and you see him Chris Pratt's character, you know, walk into the cave and open the door. You're like, this is gonna be serious. And then all of a sudden, like, he puts on his headphones, you know who he is exactly immediately. You're like, that's the kid from there, you know, the headphones, and that's gonna be, and he pumps on the music and he starts dancing and like, you know, kicking water and kicking aliens on the ground. And I saw that and I was like, I fucking know where this movie is going. He's gonna be freaking awesome, dude. Because you know what? That's the problem. And that's the problem with a lot of things. It's like, you go see, you know, the world. I mean, that's one thing where now I feel like where the Dark Knight and all those and the DC movies, you know, they're wanting to get darker.
Really dark.
They want to get gritty, and that's great. that's great for them, but like I need that loose canonness, because like that's like the books we write, you know, Black Magic Tales and any of that stuff. That's the emotion I want to capture. Like, I'm always so tired of people being so serious about like,
why so serious?
But you know, I'm sort of at that point where, you know, I'm like, it's like, no, it has to be, you know, we got to follow it by the book. And like, that's just not who I am. It's like, I like the idea of like deadpan and macabre, and I like the something really twisted, you know what I mean? I love that. I love the fact that they looked at something serious, and then there's that underlying of like, wait a minute, it's not so, but not like goofy, but just like there's something off and fun about it. And then that's what I saw when I saw the trailer of Guardians, you know what I mean? Once that I was like, where are we going with this? Oh my god, because it made you freaking feel
like it's so weird that it's twisted that you're like, wait, it's a little off here. I like it.
It's a good time. Yeah. And I love that. And that's like the stuff, you know, to me, that's the stuff I love. And that's the stuff like I write in our comics where it is fun, twisted, crazy. You know what I mean? And like, because I realize when you do something like that in the story, you're not so confined to a genre and you can like open up and do whatever the hell you want. That's why in Black Magic Tales, you can have people, characters go in space. You can have people go in time because like, because we've established that, and I feel like James Gunn is another one that's, you know, he's spearheaded that in a way of like, hey, we're serious at making it our own, I mean, twisted fun, you know? And,
yeah.
But heartfelt and endearing.
But
at the
even
same time.
Still, like, they make it look easy, but I feel like it's really hard to straddle that because you don't want to make it look like corny or cheesy, or you don't want to make Rocket the Raccoon look like Jar Jar Binks.
You got to have that honest, you got to be honest about it. You got to be honest about the balance. And also, I've read some message board reviews and people like quotations like, I didn't really get the humor, like the quote unquote humor. And in my head, I was like, maybe it's because you are dry. You're basic. But I can't really judge that on someone because, of course, I know for a fact, you know, that type of stuff is weird for people. You know, sometimes they need the spoon-fed comedy.
You know what is crazy about that, though? Because, like, I guess I'm a little... I think we're both a little, like, whatever, twisted or... I don't know. I don't know what other words, like, people use for that. Quirky or eclectic. Those type of words, you know.
Peculiar.
That's what
Buffy said. Buffy said peculiar.
So we're a little bit like that. But it always boggles my mind, though, when, like, a joke comes out.
Boggles.
Peculiars. It always, you know, twists my mind, boggles my mind, makes me think. Whenever, like, there is a joke that, like, I get and, like, other people get, and it is, like, an offbeat joke. But then there's always like those couple people that are just like, I didn't get the humor. I don't understand.
And that's
like, and I'm always just like, and that's fine. You know, maybe there's stuff that I don't understand too. And I'm not saying that everyone has to understand everything and be on the same wavelength all the time. But it just does boggle my mind though that there are people that they just don't get it.
But that's what's gonna happen.
But
no,
that's like,
really,
I guess that's
it.
What makes the world go round. There's something for everyone, you know.
But I'm not gonna lie, there are many times, and I even posted this on my Facebook, that like I almost literally cried while watching Guardians of the Galaxy because I was fucking so happy.
Okay,
I was like, this is happening.
I want to know what moments
it wasn't like a moment.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know if it really was a moment, but I just remember thinking like, dude, this is so awesome that I might fucking cry, that this is so cool. Like, I was like, it's not because I'm sad, it's not because of that, because I'm like, I was like, this is some honest...
Tears of joy.
This is some honest freaking work out there. And I was like, those moments... I was like, everything makes sense. And it's so like... It's like, oh... Like, you know, you're already getting your heart poked because of like, oh man, he didn't like, you know, hold his mom's hand and she died like right the moment of that. You know what I mean? Right when she doesn't want to hold his hand. I was like, oh my god, that's fucking like, it pulls you right there. You're like, oh shit. Because it's like, you gotta think of the horrible things, and they did it, and they do it. You know, the horrible things that can happen to your heart, you know?
And actually, I could relate to that moment a little bit myself. Just a little backstory was, my grandma died of lung cancer from smoking. And she smoked for many years, and I was like in kindergarten or preschool. I wasn't even old enough to like really understand death. Or what happens when you die, or life. Like, I didn't get it yet. And maybe I still don't get it fully, but I had no concept of death. And she was the first person that I was somewhat close to that was dying. And I remember being at the top of the stairs, and like right off the stairs to the right was my grandparents' room. And I remember not wanting to come in. And my mom was like, say hi to grandma. And then I was like, I don't want to. She's a monster. That's what I said. And I feel horrible about saying that. But the reason why I said that was because, you know, before that, even my mom was like, oh, she's losing her hair. This is what cancer does. And I just pictured like a horrible looking person with all their hair gone and like Crypt Keeper or something like that, you know? Yeah. And I feel bad that I said that, like, right, not in front, but, you know, right around the corner from my grandma being like, I don't want to see her. She's a monster. But that was like my honest reaction about that. And like, granted, from that whole experience, I have never once even wanted to ever try to smoke a cigarette. So I guess that wiped me clean of all of that. But like, still, I remember, you know, it's very similar to that scene though, when she's like, you know, this is like a mom and son though. And she's like, here, hold my hand. You know, she's about to go out of the world, you know, and he still didn't feel like confident, I guess, enough to reach out for her. Cause he didn't know fully about death and all that. So like, that was a very similar moment. So I related to that.
I love like Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, they branded them the Guardians of the Galaxy at the end of the movie. But I love that it is like it is the formation. It is an origin story, but these characters are all flawed, but they're also in a way passionate too. You know what I mean? They are who they believe in themselves. They're all each one of them is like a misfit and they're a troublemaker. Each and every one of them. You know what I mean? Like Rocket, Groot. I mean, they're each one is like a troublemaker in their own like they are troublemakers.
Yeah, and also,
they believe, but they also believe in themselves. But it's the fact of them teaming up as a team is what almost I feel like is that's where a lot of that real story tension is these people trying to get along. You know, that to me is amazing. But they all have a point. They all have a driving force.
And one thing I wanted to mention too is I think the casting was excellent, but the one thing going into the movie that I was unsure about was Batista. Because we follow wrestling, and I guess, like, Batista, I wouldn't say, like, I'm a huge fan of, but I don't, like, dislike him. It's kind of just like, oh, it's Batista, it's a big guy with tattoos, you know?
And, yeah.
And I know he's actually from the area, from the Northern Virginia area, so that's cool. But, like, I just didn't really have an opinion of him. Like, he doesn't do anything for me, if that makes any sense. Maybe he did when he first came on the scene.
We don't know his track record when it comes to acting. Maybe that's exactly that's really what it comes into.
Well, yeah, and then I was like, well, I was like open to him. I was like, well, I'll give him a chance, you know. But I guess what I'm saying is that the end result, I thought he was fabulous. I thought he actually blew me away more than some of the others because I knew the others would be good. You know what I mean? Like I was like, oh, okay, all those people are gonna be good. Like that Zoe chick, she's in Avatar, she's in a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, she's gonna be good. Chris Pratt's probably gonna be good, and like, you know, Rocket, like I've seen the voice on him, I was like, okay, that looks good. Groot's awesome, you know. And but then like Batista, I'm like, I don't know yet about that guy, because also his character is a little bit like mysterious too, so I was like, I don't know what's going on with that guy, but you know, I thought he was great. I thought he had good timing and good delivery, and he impressed me, so I was like, that's good, you know. And also I want to say Vin Diesel is probably like the luckiest person in Hollywood.
Why is that?
Because he can say I am Groot and we are Groot in different ways, and like, and probably gets paid like a lot of money for doing that, and he does a great job of doing it.
Someone else could have been Groot, or do you think it was definitely a Vin Diesel that's like, you know, it's like that he was made for that role?
I'm not sure really, but he did a great job. I mean, who knows if there might be someone else there that could be Groot, but I still think that Vin Diesel did a really good job. But it's amazing because he only has like four words, a total of four words.
What do you mean a total of four words?
I am Groot and we.
Oh yeah.
Oh wait, are Groot. So five words.
But yeah, I mean, he says it more than that in the movie though, you know?
He does, but he only has a choice of five words.
But see, that's the greatest thing about that. It's like, that's where the acting
is. Like, his vocabulary is limited to five words, way his emotions go through each one.
I can see that's the best sort of exercise in acting. It's like, that's really what it comes down to, is that you have, you know, you only have so many words. Like, you have a line, how many different ways and how many ways can you emote using that one line? And that's what the greatness of the character of Groot, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's why almost in a way it's difficult to just say that one line. But yeah, to like make it mean something different each time.
And also the way Groot was animated was very thoughtful.
So what'd you think about Groot though? Was that your favorite character?
I don't know. It's really hard because I like all of them for different reasons. So it's really hard to pick. I mean, I just took one of those dumb online quizzes of like, which Guardians of the Galaxy character are you? And I did get Star-Lord.
How did that play? Because I know like each one of those quizzes.
I have no idea. Those quizzes are kind of fakey though.
Yeah,
anyway.
They're all fakey.
But I ran through it pretty quick because I was getting ready to eat dinner. So I was just like, oh, let me finish this quiz really quick. So I don't know how authentic it really is, but I did get Star-Lord. I was hoping to, I don't know which
you're
one
trying
I was really
to,
hoping.
You're trying to play it so as you become Groot?
I wasn't playing it. I was really answering honestly. But those quizzes are always a little messed up. Because, like, I did one that was, like, what state should you live in the United States? And I ended up getting, like, Mississippi. And I'm pretty sure it's all because I answered, like, one question about country music. Oh, yeah, and then they said, what TV show do you like? And then, out of the five choices, which I don't even remember what they were, but I chose American Pickers. So I guess apparently they're like, oh, she belongs in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
But then at the same time, I took a quiz about, like, the same day or the next day, like, within the same time period. It was like this question about like what your real job should be. And they said I should be like, I can't remember what type of engineer I should be, but it was like a mechanical or no, what's the other engineer? Electrical. I don't know. Either way, some type
audio
of
audio engineer.
No, not audio, but either mechanical or electrical engineer or something. Maybe it was electrical engineering. I don't know. But yeah, they said that I should be an electrical engineer. And then I'm like in Mississippi, like that doesn't really like throw out to me like that's Carolyn's life right yeah. there like so I don't know how like
maybe I don't know
I don't know man try. Should I be electrical engineer in Mississippi?
I don't know what they what even... they make in Mississippi
swamps
maybe they're trying to tell you something
I don't know well maybe that's Louisiana Mississippi makes Marty Stewart so that's pretty awesome but I guess what I'm getting at is like I don't really know how authentic those quizzes are but I did get Star-Lord but yeah Groot man Groot was awesome Rocket was awesome.
So what
Star-Lord was fun.
What'd you think about that letter that James Gunn, that the essay he wrote afterwards, like thanking everyone? I thought that was pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, that was pretty heartfelt.
He said this is all for the misfits. This is for the loners. Or
yes, I did have a comment that I want to make on that.
But he released that what like the Saturday of it? It's like that wasn't even the weekend done yet, right?
They already knew it was going to be a hit, and they knew that the second one was going to come out. I think he just felt like this overpouring of love, you know, and like everyone's like, oh, we love James Gunn now. So, you know, I think it's awesome that he actually, like, went direct with that letter. And a lot of... Because I don't follow any other... Oh, actually, I follow Paul Feig. But I don't follow...
Paul
like,
Feig, who is also possibly in the running to do the next Ghostbusters. An all-female cast Ghostbusters, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I hear, but, you know, don't quote me on that.
That's
but that's
pretty
what
amazing.
That's possibly
See,
what's happening.
Paul Feig is another one that I have been actually following since fourth grade.
We met him. We talked to him.
And now he's blowing up, you know, because of Bridesmaids.
Well, see, here's the thing. That's what I said. It takes that one. That's why I feel like no matter what, with anything, you got to just keep working at it because you really don't know where the big break is. But whatever your big break is, you got to make sure that break is honest. Like yeah. You're making the honest work and then people can go back and look at the awesome work you've been doing because you never really know.
Exactly, because Paul Feig was in Heavyweights, and I talked about, I think, many times on this show how much I love Heavyweights fourth grade.
And people have been working hard for years, so it's like to say, like, oh, we've been working and doing this for, like, 3 years. Like, I'm like, wow, these people have been doing it for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
They haven't broken out yet, man. You got to keep on doing it.
I mean, they're still working, you know, on nice projects, but it's just that they're not, like, whatever, household names or whatever yet.
But that's not,
I guess what I'm
know.
Saying is, like, how often does a director actually speak directly like that, like how James Gunn did? I thought that was, like, really nice that he was able to release his feelings back to the crew and to the audience.
The one main thing I got out of that letter was the fact that he said that, like, this is the movie that I wanted to make, like from top to bottom. This is the one I told Marvel, quote for quote, that this is the stuff, everything in there is what I wanted. And like to hear that, that's almost such a rarity too. And maybe that's what Marvel, working with Marvel is. It's you get to have that You get to have, they hire you and you get to have that freedom because that's what they want. Almost as the same as if you were hired as a writer or artist for Marvel, you want to put your voice on it. That's what they want.
Well,
so maybe
also,
that's what that was, what was so great about that.
I feel like with him calling that out though too, it makes me think also that that's a very rare opportunity. Even though it might happen with other people, like maybe Marvel does work like that, but to me it actually calls out that's like a rare thing for the movie to basically go through his funnel.
Yeah.
Because usually with these big time projects, there are several funnels that you go through, and then in the end, it's like feels really watered down because it's less personal.
But I bet
the more personal you make it, the more authentic it is.
But I bet there is a writing committee because, like, of course, it's a Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So of course, there's like, well, we're trying to do. Because even
like
with
Joe Quesada approved,
or whoever, Kevin Feige is all, you know, but because they know down the line, hey, we're trying to do this, somehow intertwine that into your story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just so you're part of the universe. And I think that's what happened with the director of Ant-Man. Maybe it didn't fit that case as well.
Also in James Gunn letter, you know, you mentioned he did say like this film is for all the outcasts,
yeah,
for all the whatever losers of the world, you know, like that type of thing. And actually that comment made me think, like, I think, you know, he's right in saying that, and I'm not dismissing what he said, but if everybody relates to this movie, that, or not everybody in the world can relate to it, but if most of the people who watch this movie that relate to this film, and they're all like, I'm an outcast too, I'm one of these guys, I'm a Guardians of the Galaxy, then how come, like, all the geeks, like, don't combine together to, I guess, form more of something that's not like everyone's an outcast? Does that make sense? Because you have like the popular
like
kids.
Like a gang?
Not a gang, but like that is what Guardians of the Galaxy is.
Yeah.
But like what I'm saying is like in real life though, like you have like the popular kids, whatever, they're into that. And then you're always going to have like the outlaw kids that are into their own world or their own thing. And like they might have a couple friends. But I guess what I'm saying is like there's always like that typecast thing of like this is for all the outlaws and like all the like losers of the world, but then like if everybody feels that way, like I feel like there is a big group of people that feel like that, they're all like I'm an outcast too, and
here,
then
but
I feel like why don't those people like find those people and then they can be friends,
because it's not that easy. I mean it's definitely something like, you know, when you're going through high school, that, you know, when you're trying to find your way, that's what it is about. At least to me, it's like, you know, you don't know who you are yet. You're trying to find your way. You're trying to find people that you can blend in with or that you can team up with. But it's also like, that's the beauty of the movie and the team of like,
yeah,
that's why it's put together like
they
that.
Found
because
each other.
Well, it's also like, these are all these people are like, they're all part of different puzzles. And somehow still being different puzzles, being pieces of different puzzles, they fit and made their own puzzle piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. Maybe that's really what he's trying to say, is that like, you know, that's why people can relate to it, because like at a point everyone feels like an outsider. There's a day when people feel down because they didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or even probably the most popular kid in school might feel down one day, you know, or something happened.
Yeah. But what is really popular? Who knows what popular is?
I have no idea anymore what that is. But I guess.
I get what you're saying, how it's like, so everyone's an outcast. And
yeah,
it's true.
Exactly.
Everyone can be an outcast, but at the same time, not really everyone is an outcast. You know what I mean? Not really.
Yeah.
But everyone can feel like that. But not, I mean, the honest thing to say is, not everyone is an outcast, because there are some real loners out there. You know what I mean? There are people like
there
that.
There are people that really don't have any friends.
Yeah.
And I think like most, you know, in an ideal world, most people should have like a handful of pretty good friends, you know, like
yeah,
handful, even meaning like less than five sometimes, like literal handful, you know? And I mean, some people only have one, and that's fine. As long as you have one friend and you can maintain that relationship,
that's all you need.
That is all you need.
I remember even in the movie, that's what they said, like, man, this is why you guys don't have friends.
Yeah.
Because you're always fighting each other and you're always going at each other like that. I mean, that's possibly true.
And really, Batista's character seemed like the most loner of all of them.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the prison.
Yeah.
Also, his family got killed.
Exactly. So like,
those are the people he was really dependent on.
I feel like Rocket and Groot, like they're best friends, and I feel like Star-Lord can. I feel like he can talk his way into situations and be friendly with people.
I mean, Drax's whole being was to kill someone in this movie.
Yeah,
it was revenge.
Exactly.
And then now he's not gonna. You know what I mean? It's like he killed the one person, but he knows who he really needs to kill now.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's definitely like the true loner. But I guess still back to that comment, though, it reminds me of, like, the Good Charlotte song Little Things. Like, they're like, this is dedicated to, like, the kid who got picked last in gym class. And, like, you know, like, this is dedicated to, like, you know, the losers of school, you know, like, yeah. Like that song. And yeah, I mean, I guess this movie is for all, like, the loners or the outsiders and the rebels of society. You know, that is Guardians of the Galaxy, and I do relate to that, though. But I don't think I'm, like, a loser or anything. Like, I don't think I'm necessarily a popular kid or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I have friends. It's not like that, but it just makes me think, it's like, well, if there are so many people that relate to that mentality of, like, oh, I'm a loner, or, like, I'm a rebel, you know, I'm one of those type of people, then there are people out there that you can be friends with. You just have to, like you were saying with the puzzle pieces, you just gotta find them.
It
gives you hope, maybe, to be like, hey, you know, I might not, like, fit in right now. Or let's say if you're in high school, you're like, I don't really fit in right now. Or if you're, you know, even sometimes I actually felt like, I felt even more lonely, like, right out of college, because you don't get to see anybody that you knew from college, and now you're in, like, the work environment type thing, and you're like, whoa, this is how the real world works. Like, this is, like, at least for me, it was like a big wake-up call to be like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to just sit here for 8 to 10 hours and look at a screen and work, which I don't mind doing, but it's definitely very different than college and high school. And especially when you're working with older people as well, like, they're considered your peers. Like, you might be working with, like, someone who's 60 or 70 and you're, you know, in your early 20s, and that's fine, you know. It is a big wake-up call, though, to all of a sudden not have your regular peers around. So that was, like, the period in time for me where I felt more disconnected. But yeah, like, maybe you are a loner, and you're one of those type of people that isn't as connected as you'd like to be. But the thing is that there are people out there that you can connect with. You just have to find them, like how Guardians, they united.
And also, at the end of the day, it's the truth is, I feel like it's also not about finding them, but really, you just don't know who you'll find.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You never know when these things are, you never know what fate will, you know, bring you together, and what reasonings will bring you together, because that's also part of the movie. They didn't know they were going to be put into the same, you know, they're all trying to capture one thing.
And even Chris Pratt's Star-Lord character, when he saw, like, the green chick out there dying, he, like, went out without air and into space and got her. You know, like, I think the old Star-Lord, whatever, from, you know, a couple days before in the storyline, would have never done that.
Yeah.
So he was falling for her, but
That's what's really great about this movie, too. Visually, there's such amazing visual, like, epic moments, you know, like, really great operatic moments. But there also is those moments that are every character gets their moment. But then also there's a lot of really great heart. There's a lot of heart in this movie.
Exactly.
And really, that's really what's missing in a lot of films, is, like, the lack of heart. And in exchange for heart, there's money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Instead of like trying to put heart in the movie, they're just putting money in the movie. You know what I mean? So that's also a lot of different things.
I did like also your point about every character gets their moment.
Oh yeah.
Everything was important. Really paced properly. It was a really, like, a well done movie, and this is, like, the first movie in a while where
this is the first, like, James Gunn movie we've seen in a theater too.
Exactly.
You know that?
It is. But this is the first movie in a while, though, where, like, as soon as the credits hit, I was pretty much like, I want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's several movies that I would want to watch again. Maybe not, like, at that moment, but this one, like, I literally just wanted to stay in the theater all day.
See, to me, that's that Spider-Man 2 feeling. I was like, wow, that was so great. I felt so good after that movie. I need to ride that ride again.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It's because it's fucking happy, man. That movie actually just made me happy. How can you do that? It's an adventure, you know what I mean? You have ups and downs and drama and action, and you have, like, you know, you have romance, some fun, some twisted humor, a lot of great special effects, a lot of great, you know, like, a lot of great big action set pieces. You know, you have aliens, there's some, I guess there's humans in there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's good discovery, there's the wanting to see what happens next. There's a mix, there's animals, there's, you know what I mean? There's all types of stuff in there. And I don't know. James Gunn was really able to balance that thing and honestly put out a movie that I enjoyed. And I can't say, I can't speak for the rest of the world and say like, oh, this is the greatest movie ever, because you're fucking bullshitting yourself thinking there's actually the greatest movie ever. But to me, if that movie is able to make you feel happy or make you feel something and make you want to see it again, that's what it's fucking all about, man. It's one thing to have this movie in your life for like two hours and two minutes, but it's another thing to be like, you know what? I can make time for this movie again.
Or if you want to buy it, I've seen a lot of people commenting like, I'm definitely going to be buying this on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So they want to physically own it in their house.
I want to physically own it in my house. I want to see it again as well. I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing it again. I had a good time.
And we saw it in 3D. Looked excellent.
Yeah, it looked great. You know what I mean? It looked great. I can't really complain about
it. Like, seriously, I can't really pick one thing to even complain about.
And I'm not even going to try to pick it up.
I'm not even saying that means it's the perfect movie, but I just can't even, like, really critique it like that.
Yeah, and I don't want to... I was left with such a great feeling, I don't even want to try to pick it apart. Because that's just like... You know, it's like you felt...
It's like, why would you do that?
It's like trying to figure out, why are you in love? You know, it's like, don't even do it. Just let it happen. You know what I mean? Just let it happen. That's what it's all about. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's another Carolyn and Joe show in the can. In the can. In the can. I think this is actually episode 290.
Whoa.
290. 10 more until 300. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This show is made by Stray Productions. Check their work out at strayproductions.com. My name is Joe. I'm a filmmaker and a photographer and a writer. Check me out at joecarabeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. And our films at one-shots.com, which is one shots. Also, across from me in the studio, in this awesome Stray Productions studio, is Karen Bilevsky, curls-studio.com. Check her work out every Monday. New Curls comic strip, curls-studio.com/curls. Also, now on Vine. What is your Vine hookup?
I think it's just my name.
So Karen Bilevsky on
Carolyn
Vine.
Karen Bilevsky.
On Vine and Twitter.
Yes.
Yes. You can find me at Stray J. So check this show out at carolynandjoeshow.com, Stitcher, iTunes, and wherever you want to do. Take us with you and we'll make sure you have a great time. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Be excellent to each other. Go out there and watch Guardians of the Galaxy. Do yourself a favor and just have a good time. See you later, Carolyn.
See ya.